So I'm a totally normal guy. I'm the normal one, maybe, if you want this. Yeah.
And as usual, I'm joined by Terry McCullen.
Hello.
And live from the Stadium of Light up in Sunderland, Jan Bilton.
Yes. Hello, Graham. Hello, Terry. I'm up here in God's own country, and I've been dispatched by our lovely producer to report to our lovely listeners live from La Stade de Luminade.
Yes.
As it's called colloquially.
Oh, that's actually wonderful. Yeah, we've got all modern media, haven't we, Terry?
We certainly have. Yeah.
All the big news outlets do this. Whenever there's a big story, they'll send a reporter out there.
Send someone up there.
Yeah, just outside the ground where nothing's happening. Can you agree that nothing is happening at the Stadium of Light at the moment?
Well, it's not what you might call a hive of activity, considering the events of the last few days. I think possibly I may have missed the bus or the boat. Or any kind of mode of transport you care to mention. It's certainly gone because there's not a lot happening here. There's a guy locking the gates about 5 minutes ago. It's a shame he didn't turn up for that. It's quite exciting. But other than that, it's fairly quiet here. A bit windy. I hope it's not affecting the mic.
No, I think you're fine. Stay out in the wind for a bit longer and just see, just in case there's any more breaking news, so we can get the imaginary yellow ticker out along the bottom of this podcast.
I don't know
how it's going to work at the moment. I don't know what sound yellow makes.
I've never thought about it, to be honest with you.
Listeners, of course, you'll realise that we are talking about the managerial merry-go-round, because it's been going around again. And I suppose it's a bit later this year than normal, isn't it? Usually someone's gone by now, haven't they?
Yeah, I think that they look at that. They were all looking at that last international break and thinking, right, that's the time where if we have to make any changes, we're going to make the changes then. And so I wonder if, to a degree, we're talking about two clubs, aren't we, in the Premier League, have kept their powder dry and gone, right, we'll assess the situation closer to the international break and then, you know, start to, you know, sharpening our axes, you know, then.
Well, of course, Jan, the time when Sunderland sacked their manager is a bit of a movable feast, isn't it? Because it really depends on how the fixture calendar goes, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, we always try and time it so the new manager has got exactly one game before he has to play Newcastle. And that has been the case for the last three seasons, where that's not even a joke. That's a stat fact.
That's an actual stat fact.
And at which point Sunderland have gone on to beat Newcastle in each game. I think 3-0, but that's been a popular score up here. So since we started the managerial merry-go-round, we've been unbeaten against Newcastle in five games. So. You know, it has its merits, you may say.
It certainly got some kind of magic for you. It is working, whatever it is. And it's obviously keeping you up as well, all these points you're getting there and the fabulous extra three goals on your goal difference.
Well, I mean, it's always nice. I mean, I suppose it's our version of... a few years ago, everyone was criticising Chelsea because they kept swapping managers, but they were still winning things. And, you know, I think in our own small little pathetic way, that's our own little version of that.
Mm-hmm. Still clinging on to life by your fingernails.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to the chap who locked the gates earlier, and it's quite a common, commonly held view up here that if we went down, as long as we beat Newcastle a couple of times, that's okay. But, you know. What do they know?
Well,
what do they know?
I suppose this time, I mean, like it could be your own Rickenbach Falls, couldn't it, really? Because both teams at the moment are in the relegation zone. They could be tussling all the way over the edge, couldn't they?
There could be a lot of tussling come next Sunday. certainly around these parts. Anything to keep warm.
We're going to talk a bit more about the new man at Sunderland in a bit, but of course probably the bigger news, I think, Terry, is Jurgen Klopp coming to these shores. You know, it's been touted for a long time, hasn't it? Even before he left Dortmund, that he was going to take over a big club here. But instead, he chose to go to Liverpool, didn't he?
He did indeed. Yeah, yeah. He's taken on the challenge of taking mid-table Liverpool into the Champions League, and who knows, but even beyond. So it's exactly the same as it was when he took over Dortmund. Dortmund were
sleeping
disillusioned giant. Mid-table club, and he took them to glory, back-to-back championships. Who knows? Perhaps he'll do exactly the same.
Yeah. How long was that turnaround? How long did he have there before?
He arrived in 2008, 2010-11, wasn't it? So 2011-12. So he had three seasons. I don't know whether or not he'll get three seasons at Liverpool to win the title. But I think there's Liverpool are labouring under the assumption that that they're a little bit further up. From where Borussia Dortmund were in the Bundesliga when Klopp took over, so maybe they're expecting things to happen a bit quicker. But as you know, we don't make predictions on the Sound of Football podcast, but I wouldn't be surprised if he never won a Premier League title with Liverpool.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that either, really. But he's obviously a man with a lot of talent, though, isn't he? So
yes, of course. Yeah.
Is this where supposedly he gets found out, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know whether or not it works like that. I think that a coach is really only as good, a good coach is only as good as the club. And so if he has moved to, if he's confident that Liverpool will be able to support him and that Liverpool have got the infrastructure to match the ambitions that they and he have, then you know, he should be fine. I mean, my personal view of Klopp is obviously biased because of his achievements, but I mean, beyond last season, which was disappointing, you know, he has an exemplary record as a manager, and so, you know, why wouldn't he improve any football club? And certainly he should improve, you know, Liverpool. I expect Liverpool to win more games now that Klopp is there. So you know, and where are they now? They're what? But if they finished seventh last season or sixth last season, they're not, you know, it's not unreasonable to assume that he could get them, you know, if he's a success, then he could get them into the Champions League. I don't think that's an unreasonable.
It is interesting, though, because obviously the Dortmund didn't have a good season last season.
No.
And they really did struggle. It was the first half of the season was pretty woeful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people might have said, looking on the outside, they said, well, you lose your world-class player.
Yeah.
In Lewandowski.
Yeah.
And you can't replace him,
right? Yeah,
and it exposes the weaknesses of your side.
Yeah,
and people were saying that at Rodgers last year with the fact that, like, you lose Suarez.
Yes,
and what have you got? You can't replace him.
It's a similar parallel, isn't it? Yeah, Lewandowski.
Yeah, is that an unfair parallel then?
Yeah, because it's unfair because in the first instance, Klopp is not 100% responsible for the transfers at either this club or his old club, so. They lost Lewandowski, and they signed Immobile, Ciro Immobile from Torino, and I mean, he just wasn't that same player. Klopp has to take some responsibility for not adapting Immobile or not adapting this style of play to Immobile. But the fact is that he didn't necessarily make that call. The other thing is that Klopp has lost important players in the past and coped fine.
Yeah,
he lost Nuri Sahin, and they coped fine. He lost Mario Götze and they coped fine, and he lost Shinji Kagawa and they coped fine. So I would argue that you know, he's quite capable of managing that kind of, you know, a problem. But it in fairness, Lewandowski is the best striker in the world, in my opinion, I think that there isn't a club in Christendom that wouldn't miss him.
You'll be hard pressed to find a hipster to argue against that at the moment, would you, really?
But I mean, you only have to have eyes. I mean, he's been in sensational form for 3 years.
Top
now.
Top scorer in Euro qualifying as well.
Yep. I mean, sensational for Bayern this year. But I mean, he wasn't less than sensational in his first season for Bayern last year.
Yeah.
But he still won the Bundesliga top scorer. You know, he's a guy who scored four goals against Real Madrid in a European Cup semi final when Dortmund went to the final. You know, he has been top draw for quite a few years now, and I'm sure it's just the fact that he plays in the Bundesliga as he hasn't been recognised as a consequence. So it's a big loss for anyone, much like Suarez, you know, in fairness, Suarez departing Liverpool, a massive, massive loss, impossible to replace.
Yeah. Do you think he'll be bringing anyone in from Dortmund?
No.
No,
I doubt it. I mean, mate, no one big anyway.
Yeah.
Because as I said, I mean, he doesn't, you know, he didn't necessarily sign those players per se. So I don't know. I think there isn't necessarily that connection there. And I don't think Dortmund would be necessarily be willing to sell. I don't think that they'd necessarily need anyone from Dortmund. No one off the top of my head springs to mind. Marco Reus, but to be frank, I would expect Reus to go to a bigger club than Liverpool if he was to leave Dortmund.
Mm.
Bayern Munich, perhaps. Mm.
So what about you, Jan? Are you ready for Kevin Nolan at the Stadium of Light? I think he's available. Mm.
Well, he is. And the word on the street here is that, well, you know, he strutted around St. James's Park like a chicken. you know, he's not what you call a good winner. And I don't think he enamoured himself too much with the...
He could be the new Lee Clark, couldn't he?
in a reverse fashion, I suppose, really. But I think it's fair to say that would be a challenging signing. For Big Sam, but I suppose he has just one thing on his mind, and that's to keep Sunderland up. And I thought it was quite striking, actually, the difference between the two press conferences, Klopp's and Allardyce's. Allardyce's, there was an army of photographers there, all laughing jovially at his witty observations and his lovely Black Forest accent. And then we had Sam Allardyce from the Northwest turn up telling us how difficult it is and, you know, how bad it's going to be and what a challenge it's going to be. Yeah, one step at a time. You know, if I have to get the ball just pumped into the box, then that means we've got... I mean, I wanted to kill myself, if the truth be told. But there you go. But he has a rep. Of keeping teams up, and you know, he brought Bolton up,
yep.
from the second tier. He did the same with West Ham more recently. He had a brief spell at Newcastle up the road here, which I imagine is going to lead to some interesting exchanges amongst the fans up here, and of course he saved Blackburn as well. And with Newcastle and Blackburn, he was. He was excused from his duties because of a change of ownership, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was to happen here again, probably next season.
Oh,
that's
really?
Certainly the word on the street in this car park where I am now standing.
Well, see, I told you it was worth sending you up there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You should have sent me to Dortmund. I could have stood outside the Westfalen.
Well, yeah,
I got a smashing beer garden there. I could be drinking beer. And
I didn't think there was really much of a need to do that, really. If I was going to send you anywhere, I'd just send you up to Liverpool.
Well, yeah, I suppose there is that. But I don't want to go there. I want to go to Dortmund. But my I subscribe to a Dortmund app, a Dortmund news app. And for the 2-3 days while this whole Klopp thing was going down, this app just basically became a news feed for Liverpool because it was just all about Klopp. And the guy left in the summer, but they're just... That is the measure of just how prevalent, you know, he is in Dortmund fans' minds, that they're still sort of, like, you know, pursuing stories about him, even though he's no longer... hasn't been their coach for a few months now. Such is his legacy.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I suppose that's the thing, though, because he really did turn things around there for them, because they had been in the doldrums. I mean, they had the Champions League in the late 90s, but when the TV deal went bust, they really went down. Well, not downhill, but they were in mid-table mediocrity, weren't they?
But they were okay. I mean, they were decent until sort of like 2003, 2004. The first time we went to see Dortmund,
yeah.
That was at a point when they were just about to go horribly wrong, and the club almost went bust a year later in 2005. This was really their own mismanagement, really, rather than the TV deal.
Yeah.
It was their own very, very poor management that resulted in that, and they made some poor business decisions, and ended up having to take a €3 million loan from Bayern Munich to tide them over, and having to have an extraordinary meeting with their creditors to convince them to not shut the club down, literally, you know, shut the club down. So after that, they were pretty awful, and Klopp came along a few years later, 2008, just as the club, I think, were financially just picking themselves back up off the floor. And he was the beneficiary of, you know, just a tighter purse strings, and, or looser purse strings, I should say, and was able to make some signings like Lucas Barrios and ultimately Robert Lewandowski, who cost €4 million from Lech Poznan.
Who is the one who signs all the players at Dortmund?
It's a guy called Michael Zorc, who's a former player of long standing.
Right.
He's the sporting director. Now, this is not to say that Klopp had no input.
Yeah.
And indeed, Tuchel now has no input in the club signings.
Mm.
Obviously, he does, significant, but they work very much as a partnership. But it's Zorc who does all the scouting,
what
or organises
name.
The scouting. It's a great name, isn't it? Yeah. Germans,
the mighty Zorc.
Some German names are really, really cool. Klopp, Zorc, fantastic.
Yeah, Klopp and Zorc. So sound like a
sound
effect, maybe.
Yeah, sound effects from the 60s Batman. Yeah. So he's the guy who does a lot of the work there, and that's why Klopp is comfortable with the Liverpool transfer committee, because this is an arrangement that he is comfortable with. I mean, he said in his conference that, you know, he'd have the first and last word on this, and I'm sure that he had considerable input, you know, in the past. I mean, I doubt very much that, you know, he would have been perfectly happy with, you know, Kagawa and Lewandowski and Barrios when they came in, and had a big influence on that, but not the guy who actually does the deals and makes these things happen. And that's what separates him, I think, from your more Svengali-like managers, you know, your more Shankly-like figures who come over and come in and take over the club and, you know, take a firm grip on it. Much like Big Sam is doing at Sunderland,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Now, Jan, you've been looking at replacement managers for the last three seasons, haven't you? So how do you feel welcoming Sam into the club compared to, say, the last lot?
Well, let me read out this list to you. Martin O'Neill, Paolo Di Canio, Gus Poyer, Dick Advocaat, Sam Allardyce.
That's a great list.
That is a motley crew, isn't it?
I'm not making any comment on that. I'm just putting that out there.
Just putting that out.
It's a
great five-a-side team.
I just want the listeners to complete that. You know, I want them to partake.
We
shouldn't just spoon feed them.
Go with it again. Tell us the names slowly and surely. It starts off with
Martin O'Neill, Paolo Di Canio, Gus Poyer, Dick Advocaat, Sam Allardyce.
So where do you suppose the missing link is in that particular chain? I wonder.
I don't know.
I think it's fair to say that the actual missing link is amongst that crew somewhere.
But do you have an opinion on the signing, Jan? I mean, you seem to be somewhat... I don't know quite what to add, but I mean, are you pleased that Big Sam is there? I mean, he strikes me as being an eminently sensible choice, albeit unglamorous and maybe, you know, unspectacular.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think he is the absolute correct choice, considering considering where we are and what he has done in his career. I think that the owner has made the absolute right choice, and it's interesting because it coincides as well with, I think, Sunderland abandoning their director of football approach and position. I think Lee Congleton is his last job was to bring in Allardyce, and then he's off to do other things, maybe back to scouting, I don't know, but he's the second person to hold that post, and I think that the owner's probably sick of that now, because it hasn't brought them anything, and it's a shame, because I think they potentially could have, but there you go. But to answer your other point, I was really, really excited by some of the people we were bringing in over the summer. We did bring in Fabio Barini, who had a great loan spell with us, wasn't so successful with Liverpool, but he's a big fan up here. He has a lot of fans, rather, up here. Jermaine Lenz, who we brought in, who I think is going to be a fine player. He's got a cracker the other week. And Jan Mvila, who's a bit feisty, but we like that up here. We do like a bit of fight there. And then the existing players we've got with Rodwell and Johnson. I thought we had the makings of a pretty good team there. And I suppose my concern is that we're going to bring in a meat and potatoes manager And we've got quite a bit of talent there that if he can get them playing, great. But I just think there's some flair players there that probably won't fit into his plans. I think that we're going to have Nolan up here and probably a few players from West Ham. And I think that's the only disappointment, that the potential was there and it was never really realised.
Yeah, well, he's got a bit of time before January the 1st, so he's going to have to deal with what he's got, isn't he? Really?
He's going to have to knock that lot into shape because he's got a ways to go before he can sign anyone.
And the same with Klopp as well.
I mean, indeed the same with Klopp.
It's an interesting time to change manager, because obviously I suppose it does give you that running time up to the January window where you can put things in place to transform your team for the second half of the season. But for the now, I mean, like, you've really got to knuckle down and...
But Klopp's got some exciting players to work with there. Anyway, hasn't he? So yeah. I mean, there are some good players there, and I think and I particularly think that he'll get the best out of Benteke. I think that he's a guy that I'd like to see a lot of under Klopp. I think that he'll look at him and see him as because he does like a good target man. And I think that there's some depth and nuance to Benteke's play that maybe isn't always apparent.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing whether Klopp can bring that out of there. Apropos Sam, I think it'd be a massive misstep if they got Nolan in.
Mm.
I think that would be a terrible thing for him to do when he got in there. I mean, he has to learn, you know, I mean, he surely must realise that you've got to keep your fans on side. But one, I would strike a note of positivity for the attacking options there. I mean, once he got that Bolton team going, you know, he was working with some pretty damn good players there. Yuri Djorkaeff played for that, and JJ Okocha was sensational for Bolton, and that was under Sam's. I know that a lot of people think about Bolton and they think about those early years in the Premier League when they were struggling to stay up. And my word, I mean, they were backs to the wall. They were up very defensive, quite physical, not always much fun to watch. But once they got into their stride. And that has to be said, that had Allardyce stayed at Bolton rather than going to Newcastle, then I think that, you know, that he could have achieved some genuinely great things with that Bolton side. So I would suggest that it's not quite so bad. The goals do win games, but I think he recognises that, but I think he also knows. And also, in fairness, because of the starting point whenever he's taken over a club, you know, he's had no choice but to go defensive and... You know, and do what needs to be done to win. I mean, even at West Ham, even though they would have been one of the favourites to go back up again, I mean, he had to be conservative because they'd have been hell to pay if he failed.
Mm.
So, I mean, and so I think that it's not all bad in that respect. And if he stays and it works and he keeps them up, and maybe it might take a couple of seasons, but I think we might start to see Sunderland play some interesting football. But the truth is, yeah, and I don't think you need me to tell you this, but you know, the club's in an absolute, or the playing squad's an absolute state for the most part, apart from the very clear exceptions that you've just offered there. I mean, the club is in a mess. There's a huge amount of remedial work that needs to be done. And so, I mean, whoever you get in there is going to have a tough job making that team, you know, interesting and entertaining. So, you know, in reality, I mean, the best approach is the pragmatic approach. Stop conceding goals, start winning football matches. I think if he does that, then I think you should be pleased personally, but I can see how you might feel differently.
You're right. He's a pragmatist first and foremost, and I think he's realised that if he's going to keep them up, then he needs to sort out the defence. I mean, in recent weeks, you know, some of the talent I just mentioned there have done pretty well. But defensively, we've been shocking. And considering some of the experiences in there, for example, O'Shea, you know, he's been around the block and he knows his stuff. Really nervous at the back. And I don't mean to single him out. Across the back, they've been like that. So hopefully he can put some things in place there, and you know, maybe have a bit more attention to detail and just kind of go over things a bit more. These are the things you should be doing. You know, stick it in the stand if you need to. So you know, and I think it's fair to say as well, you know, that it's been a team in transition. We were lucky to stay up last season. You know, we brought in some players this season, but it's still effectively Poyet's team. But this is the second manager down the road, so I'm not expecting miracles. I don't think anybody I've spoken to up here today is expecting miracles immediately, but they do expect them in good time. I think it's fair to say that's the word on the street in Wearside.
that's brilliant. I mean, I think it's been a wonderful piece of journalism you've given us today.
Thank you.
On the banks of the Weir. Actually, I think we've really covered all the ground really with these two. So, do you actually know Jan when Liverpool play Sunderland next?
I'm trying to put that out of my mind. Because chip in on Klopp, I didn't want to interrupt because Terry obviously knows quite a lot about the new Liverpool manager, but I was suckered by him watching him in the press conference, probably because I was so bloody jealous. I wouldn't be surprised if he does very, very well. I think it's optimistic. He's very optimistic to say that he's going to win the league within 4 years, though he didn't strictly say that.
But title in German is a trophy, so it's possible that he may have not actually meant the league. He may have just meant a trophy, which is a more realistic ambition.
Mm. I agree, and I think anyone at Liverpool will take what they can get at the moment. Mm. He's taken over them at a good time because Sturridge is back and scoring, which I think is unfortunate for the outgoing manager, because I think that might have kept him in his job, certainly for a few more months, but there you go.
I think the good thing for Klopp is the attacking options at Liverpool are great at the moment. So, I mean, I think we could see some of the football that we saw from Dortmund with a lot of that, especially with like players like Lallana and Coutinho and Ings as well. Mm. You've got players there that really, really are good technical players, really, really confident.
It all depends on how they respond to his coaching methods, which is probably the only note of caution that I would strike, is that there is a whiff of the funky English teacher about Jürgen Klopp. And it might well be that culturally...
Jürgen.
His approach is perhaps too cheesy for the players. Mm. The English players might... There may be a cultural clash there. They might not respond to him as well as maybe they do in Germany, they did at Dortmund. So I mean, that is a note of caution I would strike, but we'll find that out really, really soon. But I agree that I'm looking forward to seeing that combination of attacking players.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be I think it could be very, very exciting, and I am really looking forward to the game against Tottenham. I really, although he hasn't had much time with the players, I'm looking forward to just seeing how it lifts. We'll see how the players respond. If they're lifted by Klopp's presence there, then I think they're set fair for a good season.
Looking forward to a Tottenham match.
I know. Wow. I don't know the last time that happened.
And on that surprising note, I think it's time to put this podcast to a close. From me, from Tidley, from Terry DeFellin, and from Jan Gorton, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Gegenpressing.